أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
سورة 67 الملك. Title: The term al-mulk, dominion, features in the opening verse of this surah and constitutes its title. Period of revelation. There is no authentic report about its date of revelation. However, it is fairly evident from its contents and style that it must have been revealed in the early Meccan phase. Subject matter and themes. On the one hand, this surah introduces the teachings of Islam concisely, and on the other, it eloquently warns the very negligent. The early Meccan surahs often deal with the main articles of Islamic faith and the purpose behind the Prophet Muhammad's mission, peace be upon him. All this is stated briefly rather than at length with a view to persuading the addressees in such a way that they may grasp these truths gradually. The focus is on waking up the negligent, prompting them to reflect and appealing to their conscience. The opening five verses aim to make man realize that the universe he inhabits is a well-organized and stable empire. Were he to look for any flaw or shortcoming in its workings, he could not find one. It is God who has brought it into being out of nothingness, and it is He who exercises absolute power and authority over its functioning and control. His power is boundless. Man is also told that he has not been created in vain. He has been sent to this world as a test or trial, and only his good conduct will help him pass it. Verses 6 to 11 describe graphically the horrible consequences of unbelief that man faces in the hereafter. Mankind is informed that God has sent down His messengers to warn them in this world against unbelief's horrible consequences. If they do not listen to the messengers and do not mend their ways, they will have to acknowledge in the hereafter that they deserve the punishment meted out to them. Verses 12 to 14 testify to the truth that God as Creator is not ignorant of the condition of His creatures. He knows full well all that man declares and conceals, including the innermost thoughts and feelings in his mind and heart. Therefore, the first and foremost moral principle is that man should shun all evil out of the fear of God, regardless of whether he might be caught or not for his evil by any worldly authority, or whether he might face a loss on account of not committing a misdeed. Those who fear God in this sense will attain deliverance and a great reward in the hereafter. Verses 15 to 23 draw attention to the signs which man disregards as routine matters, and he is asked to reflect on these signs. Man should consider first the planet Earth, on which he walks in comfort and from which he gets his food. It is God who has made the earth subservient to man. Otherwise, it may be overwhelmed at any moment by an earthquake which may destroy him completely, or a storm may deprive him of all that he has. Man should reflect on the birds flying above him, for it is God who holds them in the air. Likewise, man should consider the resources available to him. No one could save him if God were to punish him, nor could anyone restore his means of sustenance were God to withhold them. All these signs should suffice for man to realize the truth. However, he looks at these signs as the unthinking animals do, who cannot draw any inference from their observations. Man does not utilize properly his faculties of hearing, seeing, and discernment that God has endowed him with. As a result, he fails to see the straight way. Verses 24 to 27 assert that man will ultimately stand before his Lord. It is not the messenger's role to inform mankind of the exact date of the last day. His mission consists in warning man about it beforehand. If man refuses to believe in the messenger and insists on witnessing the last day with his own eyes, he courts his own destruction, for when it arrives, it will be too late to embrace faith. On that day, man will be told that this is what he asked to be done. Verses 28 to 29 refute the allegations of the Meccan unbelievers against the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and his companions. They used to curse the Prophet, peace be upon him, and pray for his and the believer's destruction. They are told that whatever befalls him will not change their fate. They should rather consider what will protect them from God's penalty. They consider the believers to be in error, but soon they will realize it is they who are astray. Finally, they are asked to ponder the question that if the water on which their lives depends in the deserts of Arabia were to sink down into the depths of the earth and disappear, then who other than God could restore this lifeline to them?